Welcome to Two Way Talk on Public Radio WEAA 88.9 FM. Absolutely, without question, the voice of the community. I'm Anthony McCarthy.
And I'm Kara Williams.
Now, Kara, do you read the Afro-American newspaper?
I do.
Now, folks, the Afro-American newspaper, one of the oldest black publications in the country, has a new columnist. And we invited him to join us right here on Two Way Talk. Ralph Moore has a new column called The Moore Report. He is joining us today to talk about the column and some of the issues he'll be writing about in the city of Baltimore. Ralph Moore, welcome to Two Way Talk.
Howdy. How are you?
It's great to talk to you. You have to, and I'm just going to fan out on you, you have to be one of my favorite advocates in the city of Baltimore. But it's so true. When it comes to speaking up for the dispossessed and the poor and really anyone who has got the foot of government on them, Ralph Moore will be the person you want fighting for you. Mm-hmm. I'm so glad you're with us today, Ralph.
Well, again, it's my pleasure. Thank you for inviting me.
So tell us about the Moore Report.
Well, let me first say that the Afro has been around all my life. There was always an Afro in our house.
Yeah, mine.
You know, mm-hmm. People would, it wasn't males. People would, there would be usually a boy that would ring the doorbell and say, the Afro is here, and you'd pay the money and get the paper.
Wow.
Elijah Cummings was an Afro delivery boy at one time,
mm-hmm.
he always said. But the funny thing is, some people tend to poo-poo the paper these days, not realizing that the Afro was around and provided, coverage of black people and brown people when no one else would. When the Sun papers didn't care whether we lived or died,
yep.
got married or got buried, got promoted. I guess they were particularly interested if somebody went to jail or committed a crime in jail. But the Apple was always there. They not only covered our lives, but they covered the civil rights movement. They covered the lynchings that were going on, oftentimes at the risk of the reporters. And so they've always been there. So people should remember that. And it's a good paper. There are good people there, good writers, good reporters,
mm-hmm.
good management. So I was honored to be asked. I've been writing articles for the Afro for about a year now, working with Dorothy Fulware.
Mm-hmm.
And, I was a little surprised, but they asked me if I would write a column, which I was delighted at the opportunity. So here I am, the Moore Report, their title, not mine. I get to write about the things that are on my mind. I like to call them, sometimes I like to call them how comes.
Mm.
How comes like this, and how come that's going on, and how come this is not happening? And some quick things come to mind, like how come only 61% of the Baltimore City Police Department has been vaccinated, and what does that say? Even though I just saw a news item from the Sun papers that said that the police union is calling for the police not to disclose whether or not they have been vaccinated, because there's a deadline of next week somewhere.
That's right.
And so in their typical obstructionist way, the police union is asking or directing their members not to cooperate.
Mm.
So it puts us in a bad situation here. I think the public has the right to know whether or not an officer who's approaching them has been vaccinated,
mm-hmm.
Or tested and can prove that. So anyway, that's one of the how comes. There are lots of these around,
mm-hmm.
And I intend to put my finger on them wherever I and whenever I can.
So let me ask you, because we get calls all the time when we cite the Afro, when we talk about the Afro on this program, people say they only report old news. They're not relevant to the conversation. Certainly they can't argue with the history that you gave us of the Afro. But do you believe that the Afro is still relevant in reporting the news for Black America today?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
All you have to do is pick it up or go online and read it. You know, the Afro reported on the anniversary of the Tulsa, the 100th anniversary of the Tulsa
massacre.
Mm-hmm. Massacre. And, you know, they covered, you know, the story of those three people that went down to Congress and testified who lived through that experience. They're elderly people, and they can remember things that they saw and heard through that experience. Well, I read about that in the Afro.
Yeah.
And there are lots of stories like that that are covered, you know, throughout. So people just need to pay attention. I wrote recently about a guy named Charles Tillman, who opened up the Sphinx Club,
mm-hmm.
West Baltimore. And it was he was the first African-American to open up a nightclub in the country.
I was so excited by that article.
Yes.
Well, and that was in 1946. You know, the Sphinx Club was the place to be. You know, when all the other clubs were shutting down, people would go there and they could get hear some more music, do a little dancing, eat some more good food for the rest of the night and the rest of the morning, deep into the morning. But anyway, they're doing something to honor Charles Tillman tomorrow in West Baltimore at the park there, the Cab Calloway Park.
Oh, wow. Okay. So go ahead, I'm sorry.
But I'm just saying that people should know these kind of things. If they go back and pick it up, they will find that there's a lot of great information. It's not all old information. Mm-hmm. There are stories that people may have seen, some topics that people may have seen, I should say, elsewhere. Mm-hmm. But the Afro has a take that is uniquely the perspective of Black people writing about things. And that's important for people to know and to hear, I think.
If you're listening, we want you to call Two-Way Talk at 410-319-8888. Do you read the Afro-American newspaper? Are you a subscriber? You should be. You should pick it up every week. Ralph Moore is joining us right now. He is a columnist, The Moore Report, for the Afro-American newspaper. We're excited to have him come on and talk about his job as a columnist. He's been reporting for the Afro for over a year, and now, is it weekly? Are you going to do it every week, Ralph?
I'm going to try.
Oh, wow. That's wonderful. So, folks, give us a call at 410. The calls are coming in, 319-8888. That's the number to join our conversation. Ralph, I want to be very careful about these questions I ask you. Ralph is married to the chief equity officer for the city of Baltimore, former city solicitor Dana Peterson Moore. I think she is one of the most outstanding public servants this city could possibly have. I don't want to put him in a position where I'm going to ask him something that may put her in a difficult light. So I'm just being very careful, Ralph.
That's fine. We have both tried to respect that.
Uh-huh.
I want people to know that the views I express
are yours. That's right.
And, you know, what we talk about here inside the house does not necessarily ever get outside this house.
Uh-huh.
But she has her position and she has her views. And I have mine. That's where we are. She does a fine job. She works very hard at it.
She sure does.
And it's not an easy position to have.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of old ways that have been around, and people tend to resist change,
mm-hmm.
Even if it's good for them, the sociologists tell us. Anyway, so I appreciate you saying that.
And the reason I said that, because you two are independent, very, very smart, well-educated people who are entitled to have your own opinions, and people should not hold her to your opinion or hold you to her opinion, because you're both free-thinking adults. And so, I do want to respect that she's in a public position.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, just for the record, she's the brains of the outfit. but that's all right.
I'm not going to say yay or nay to that. But let me ask you, one of the big issues, and boy, the phone lines lit up when I said that you were here. One of the big issues in our city, and I'm sure you're going to write about it sooner or later, is crime and violence in the city of Baltimore. Give me your thoughts on that. People are absolutely distracted by this 300 number every year. 7 years, we have had over 300 homicides in the city. Give me your thoughts, Ralph Moore.
Well, first, the seventh year is coming up. I mean, it looks like we're going to hit it. You know, we started counting in 2015, the 300s, and on New Year's Eve and New Year's Day, that's when the media will crow that we've hit over 300 again. Mm-hmm. And we may hit over 300 before New Year's Eve, but that's when the year ends, and that's when they'll hark on the total and all. And it's sad. It's shameful. I've written about all the kids that have been shot and killed in this town. It's dreadful. It really is. In my honest opinion, and I've said this before, despite, people's best intentions, nobody really knows what to do with this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's overwhelming. It has a life of its own, or a death of its own, more correctly, I guess. But so, what I've been noodling with, because I think some folks in the community are trying to, organize. There are already some groups that have been around.
Mm-hmm.
Safe Streets is doing a pretty good job, I think. The group Baltimore Ceasefire, they've tried to get the word out there and connect with the community and so forth. There are best efforts that people are making, but it's hard to get at it.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know what the answer is. The only thing I can think of, and people are going to hate me for saying this, but I'm going to write about it. I've already started to gather some thoughts and notes about it. But I think we need to come up with a redistribution of wealth and income in Baltimore. And I'm not a card-carrying member of the Communist Party, but I think that a lot of the tension and the anxiety, comes from the fact that people don't have enough for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's safe to say.
Yeah.
Different things have been disappointing. You know, a few years ago, we tried to get a $15 an hour minimum wage passed in city council, mm-hmm. and it did pass in the city council. And then it was vetoed
by Mayor Pugh.
Right.
And
there's enough blame to go around. And the council did not manage to override.
They sure didn't.
Veto, mm-hmm. Right. So everybody said, "Well, let's see what the state's going to do." Well, the state, through the great efforts of groups like SEIU and others, passed a $15 an hour minimum wage. Maybe 3 years ago,
mm-hmm.
for 2025. I've never seen anything so ridiculous. So people need to get that $15 an hour, which will be a floor for people, they need to get that passed now,
mm-hmm.
whether it's in the city council or whatever. The state's already done their thing. Let the city council come back and say, we're gonna pass a $15 an hour minimum wage.
Mm-hmm.
But there are other things. One of the things that the city is doing is they're putting together a grant program for people for their security deposits.
Yep.
So they can pay their security deposit. That's helpful to poor people. The schools have to get better. They've got to be able to hang on to kids so that they don't, leave the system and go into the drug trade.
Mm-hmm.
The drug folks are always hiring. You can always
they
get a
sure
job.
Are.
you know. And one of the things we did was to start a program with our kids, our peace camp with the kids. And one of the reasons was because, you know, the drug dealers were recruiting, you know, the young boys to stand on the corner and holler when they
and alert them. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right? It used to be 5-0. I don't know what they you know, it was saying Donald Trump.
They got whistles and stuff now.
Yeah.
Right. All of that stuff. And, you know, the kid might get $20, which looks like a lot of money to buy candy with,
mm-hmm.
You know, one day, and then they'll get another $20 tomorrow. And, you know, so, but we don't want them out there. We don't want them exposed to that. Not to mention that the environment is so lousy now that kids playing outside.
That's right.
You know, it's just all crazy. So, anyway, we've just got to rethink of ways that we can provide income, a decent income, and $15 an hour isn't going to make anybody rich.
It's certainly not.
It's going to make life a little bit more reasonable. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You know, the federal minimum wage is something like $7.35, and many states have gone past that, including Maryland. My only problem with Maryland, and I'll probably have a lot of labor people scream at me, but my only problem is that, you know, they passed it for 2025.
Yeah.
It raises incrementally in the meantime, but people need that $15 an hour.
Ralph Moore, we have a bunch of folks on the line who want to join our conversation. I'm going to go to Laura first, then Nancy and Jamela. But guys, turn your radios down so you can hear us and there's no delay. Laura, I really appreciate you calling. Welcome to Two Way Talk.
Hi, thank you all. I just want to, I'm always a sponsor and supporter of the Afro.
Oh, wonderful.
Thank Mr. Moore. Because now we get the Moore Report and other commentaries. And we got a young lady, Megan Sales, came in recently.
Yeah.
Get more business and all, information from D.C. And even me as a senior, we get good health information.
Nice.
Relevant to us. And don't forget our Dr. K.
Our Dr. K, that's right. She's one of the columnists.
We're specialty writers.
Mm-hmm.
So I really, and I try to give it as gifts to the family.
Oh, that's nice.
I like both, the digital. And I still like the paper, too.
Me, too. I like paper.
Yeah.
Appreciate you, Laura. Thank you so much. You know, it's interesting because people criticize the Afro, but honestly, if you are looking for health information, if you're looking for certain perspectives on crime and prosecution, it's only written about in the Afro.
So I am... I had an internship under Jessica Dortch.
Oh, did you?
And that's what I did. I found the health, especially for the pandemic and Black community and all that, and just different stories to put in.
Oh, wow!
Yeah, so it was
fun. Didn't know that. Mm-hmm. You and I have so much in common. As people know, I was the editor in chief of the Afro for many years.
Mm-hmm. I'm hoping to write a column for them. Well, I actually have a column in there from.
Oh, nice! Yeah. That's wonderful. So. Now, Ralph, let's go back to the phones. A lot of people want to talk, and we're running out of time, unfortunately. Let's go to Nancy. Nancy, welcome to Two Way Talk.
Thank you. Hi, Ralph. This is Nancy Dennis, your old friend.
Oh, wow.
Listen, I was one of those people who walked away from the Afro, and Ralph presented a compelling argument to return.
Nice.
And I am a subscriber, and I have several friends and relatives who have returned as subscribers because of his presence and his style of writing and the fact that we know that he has a lot of integrity.
Mm-hmm.
Ralph will say what he thinks and let the chips fall where they may. But he's also compassionate, and he's respectful, and he's also somebody who's gifted. He knows how to write and make the
sense. He really does.
Mm-hmm. So you really get excited when you read something in the Afro and all of the Afro. Now, the quality of the Afro has improved a lot in recent years.
Mm-hmm.
So I enjoy reading it. I like the content and also the perspective and the fact that the Afro doesn't just cover Baltimore news.
That's right.
They cover news that is relevant to news that are relevant to all of us, no matter where it's happening in the state of Maryland and abroad. So kudos, Ralph. Glad you're there. Kudos to Ms. Boulware and all the people at the Afro. You're doing an excellent job, and I'm glad I'm back.
Me too. Thank you, Nancy. Ralph, what do you think about that?
Nancy and I have known each other since middle school.
Oh, wow.
And we've been friends. And, you know, she was one of the four people that, you know, I wrote about it this week on Facebook. you know, when Alan Christensen died, I recalled he was ranting about the statue that we had painted black at St. Pius Church in 1971. I was 19, Nancy was 18. And there were two others, Arlene Fisher and Harold Miller.
Oh, wow.
It was a radical thing to do. We were radical black Catholics, and I still consider myself one. Alan Christian was ranting on his radio show about it. So Harold Millage called up one night and said, "Have you ever seen these statues that we painted?" He said, "Well, no." He said, "Well, maybe you should stop talking about it until you go see them." He said, "I will." And he never talked about it, ranted about it again. So anyway, but Nancy and I were taught by the same nun. So, you know, she writes well. They insisted we write well. We know an adjective for an adverb and subject-verb agreement and whatever. In those days, we diagrammed sentences on the board.
Yeah, I remember those days.
Right? You drew a line and you put with the adjective on the one slanted line where it belonged.
Mm-hmm.
You separated the noun from the pronoun and the subject from the predicate, all of that stuff. And they were excellent educators. Mm. But they also told us, we had one nun who would say, "Okay, now put away your books for a moment." And we'd all put our books away, and she'd just talk to us and tell us to remember where we came from, and remember the community that you came from. That was, that was her preaching to us in some ways.
Wow.
And instilling some value. But these are the Oblate Sisters of Providence. They're over in Baltimore County, and they're excellent servants of God, and they're wonderful people. And I had the good fortune of having one of those nuns in the classroom for 9 years, from kindergarten through eighth grade.
Oh, wow.
So
we've got some more callers I'm going to try to get in. We only have about a minute and a half left. Jamela is on the line. Jamela, welcome to Two Way Talk.
Hi, I just want to say that I am a Afro supporter.
Yay.
And Afro always gave me good information. And I also want to give a shout out to Ramblin' Rose.
Oh, yeah.
She posted things that you needed to know or wanted to know. She posted. I also want to give a shout out on her book, the book that she wrote. And she wrote a whole lot of good information about the black businesses in Baltimore City for years. And my family business was also in there.
Oh, nice.
And I just want to say I love the Afro and I am a supporter.
Thank you so much, Jamela.
And you all have a great day.
Thank you. Ramblin' Rose, Rosa Pryor, has been on this program. She's one of my favorite people. The Society article column that she writes is a who's who. If you're in that article, if you get in that column, you've made it. You've made it. So, Ralph Moore, we only have about 30 seconds left. What can we say to people about the Moore Report? What should they expect from the Moore Report?
Well, again, I just will be calling them as I see them.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it'll be lighter than others, but we want to raise some issues and concerns that exist in the city, in the country, in the state. I think it's wide open.
Yeah.
And all. And I tend to be more of an artist than a scientist. So, I look for inspiration.
Hmm. Well, we will be reading the Moore Report. Mm-hmm. Ralph Moore is a columnist for the Afro-American newspaper. And thanks for joining us today, Ralph.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for inviting me. Again.
Talk to you soon, brother. Folks, we got to take a quick break, and then we'll be back with more Two-Way Talk.